Welcome to Between Two Lips, a podcast dedicated to all things pelvic health for women. I'm your host, Kim Bopney, the Vagina Coach, and I am excited to share with you information from leading pelvic health professionals from around the world, stories from women at all life stages who have faced struggles and successes, and of course, I share a little about my own pelvic health journey as well. There is too much silent suffering associated with the female pelvis, and I am on a mission to change that. It's time we talk openly about a part of the body that deserves a whole lot more attention than it gets. Join me each week for casual and candid conversations that will both inform and inspire you to optimize your pelvic health for life. I'd like to thank the sponsor of today's episode, Feel Amazing Vulva and Vaginal Moisturizer. Studies show that moisturizing with hyaluronic acid is an effective treatment for vaginal dryness. Vaginal dryness is most commonly associated with menopause. When we reach menopause, estrogen goes for a steep decline, and so does hyaluronic acid. Hyaluronic acid is a naturally occurring molecule that our body makes on its own, keeping our eyes, mouth, skin, joints, and vaginas naturally lubricated. But our body's hyaluronic acid starts to decline in our 30s and 40s, and then more significantly post-menopause. There are other reasons that can lead to vulva and vaginal dryness, including the birth control pill, postpartum, overuse of pads and panty liners, certain cancer treatments, and some medications and health conditions. The Feel Amazing Vulva and Vaginal Moisturizer is made from hyaluronic acid and vitamin E to restore natural moisture back into the skin cells of the vulva and vaginal wall. It was researched and developed by BC-based pharmacists in collaboration with vagina owners age 35 and up, and my good friend Shirley Weir over at Menopause Chicks. Feel Amazing can be purchased online without a prescription. This means you can take control of your vaginal health and apply the moisturizer as often as your own unique needs require without having to consult a doctor first. I use Feel Amazing, have been using it for several years and absolutely love it. I put it on right after my morning shower and it truly does feel amazing. No mess, no goo, just tissue support and health that I absolutely love. I've got a link in the show notes for you so you can get started taking care of your vulva vaginal health by moisturizing your vagina today. Welcome to another episode of Between Two Lips. I'm your host, Kim Bopney, the Vagina Coach. And in this week's episode, I am joined by Jen Wadke, who is an orgasm and pleasure coach. She believes that when we experience our orgasm and pleasure to the fullest, we move into the divine and become fully empowered in all areas of life. So she had reached out to me and wanted to talk about pleasure and orgasm. And she talks about the touchless orgasm, which we go into in this episode. So it's a unique conversation. I think it was a really cool exploration about what pleasure is and what it can mean and how we are all entitled to pleasure, whatever that means for us. So let's dive into this week's episode. Hi, Jen. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited and interested about this conversation. You reached out to me as a pleasure and power coach. And I've heard of pleasure coach, but haven't necessarily heard the two together with power. And I was really intrigued by your background. So can we start with what brought you to this line of work? What do you do? And what does it mean to be a pleasure and power coach?
Yeah, I've actually leaned in recently even deeper into the pleasure, and I've also rolled orgasm coaching into that. And I sort of got into it my own journey. I was living the life I was supposed to lead, the nice girl life. I was an elementary school teacher. I was married. I was about to, you know, try to start for a baby, living really close to my parents. And I realized that I was absolutely miserable and something happened in the marriage. And so I got divorced, which really for me sparked, but that was a major transformation. And you know, as soon as the divorce was finalized and I started dating and having sex, I was like, wow, hold on. Like, there's a whole new world out here and there are different ways to be in relationship and have sex and have pleasure. And that just sort of exploded my world. And I made some massive changes to my life and career. And from that marriage ending for me was one of the most powerful moments of my life. Because I had to get a divorce. I took control. There were a lot of moments in that divorce that could have been very disempowering. But I said, no, I'm going to do this. This is what I want from this. And I deserve this. So, you know, and then I started sexually experimenting. So that's how the power sort of weaved in for me. And I slowly came to deciding that I wanted to really be in a sexuality career and really support women. Because I think when women especially truly are living in our pleasure and are in touch with it and embrace it, that is the ultimate power, I think, for a lot of women, for people in general, but especially for women.
Mm-hmm. So what does that mean when you say living in their pleasure? How would you describe that?
I think it's connected to their pleasure and not feeling guilty about it. I think there's so much societal, I think it's nonsense that we're taught about how women experience pleasure, how they should experience pleasure. And I think women's sexuality hasn't been erased in our society. If you think that the sexual revolution really happened, depending how old you and I are and our listeners, I mean, that's my mom's generation. That's one generation ago in the 60s where this all started to shift. And instead of allowing women to create their own sort of sexual arena where female sexuality could flow naturally, we stepped into the male arena. So women's sexuality was developed, or not developed, but sort of, it's still viewed through that male lens. It's often viewed as male sexuality light. So when women can sort of shuck off all of that conditioning and really be in touch with having sex, how she wants to have sex, having the orgasm that she desires to have, however that looks, however her body reacts, and really embracing that and not apologizing for it, that is living in pleasure. And I think that that truly leads to personal empowerment as well.
It was interesting. Recently, I was watching a show on, I think it was Netflix or Apple or something. It was called Flaked, and it was about this alcoholic guy lives in Venice, California, and sort of his life. And in one scene, he sees this beautiful woman. She's a surfer, and you can see that he's got this attraction. Anyway, next scene is they're in bed together, and the woman is leading the way, and she's directing the pleasure that she wants. And when she has an orgasm, she basically gets off of him and says, thank you very much, and starts putting her clothes on. And it was the first time that you've seen the man in a heterosexual scene, a man lying there feeling like maybe he's been used, or feeling like, hey, what about me? What about my pleasure? Because as you say, typically it's what we have grown up seeing in movies or TV or wherever, it's that it's more about everything is finished. The sexual act is finished once the male has the orgasm. And never do we see a woman really having an orgasm. And if we do, it's typically we think of it as porn, as the exaggerated moaning, yelling, screaming, all that kind of stuff. So I was interested by that. It's the first time I've seen it. I'm sure it's happened somewhere else, but.
Yeah. And I think there very much is an inherent privilege that we don't really think about in having the right to come last. Now, don't get me wrong, women, when men decide that their partner comes first, I'm all for it. Like, that's lovely and wonderful. But there is something inherently privileged about being the one who decides sex is over because you've gotten yours. And I think that's what's so powerful about what you just described, is that woman's going, I've got my, we're done now. And it is a massive, massive shift in how we view experiences of pleasure, especially in heterosexual relationships and sexuality. So, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So you say there, I don't remember the exact wording on your site, but essentially that women have innate pleasure and power within them.
Yes.
And that's part of what you do, is you help them find that. So what are some of the reasons why maybe they have never found their pleasure or power? Or maybe they had, but they've lost it along the way. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we all have our own unique sexual ecology. And within that ecology is a pleasure story and going back, goes a little bit back to what I mentioned before, that we have so many teachings about how women can be and should be. And like I mentioned before, it's only our mother's generation that sort of started to benefit from this sexual revolution. So there's a lot of, you know, generational trauma about not being able to, you know, have freedom to express sexually, having freedom to experience pleasure. And when we get these messages over and over and over again, we take it on. And I think we don't even realize that that's what we've done. And we start getting these messages in childhood, like little tiny little girls, right? And one of my clients, for an example, she grew up in a fairly religious family and her parents expected her to be very high achieving. There was always this like, you need to be good enough that like if you got 95% on an exam, where was the extra 5%? So when we get messages like that constantly, when we go into sexuality, there's this underlying fear of like shame around sexual expression. And if I have this pleasure, I'm not going to be good enough. I'm not going to be worthy of love. I'm going to be unsafe. And sometimes female sexuality really makes us unsafe in the world. Like, you know, there's a lot of sexual violence and depending where you are in the world, there can be a lot of social ostracism around female sexual expression. And, you know, in pockets of the world, like if you have a child out of wedlock, you're looking at a life of poverty. Like there is so many layers to why women might not have been able to access that. And it's not her fault. It's never her fault. But I think it becomes your responsibility. Like you have to reclaim that. You have to make a choice to reclaim that. And I think everybody can reclaim it. Everybody can reconnect with it. But you have to acknowledge that it's there and you have to want to reclaim it.
Mm-hmm. And I think the word pleasure can mean a lot of things. And in your line of work, and I am making an assumption, and please correct me if I am wrong, but in your you're talking mainly from a sexual perspective.
Yes.
But when there are other ways to experience pleasure, and one of the, again, reading through your website and what you were doing, part of your story, you were talking about your journey in learning about pleasure and finding your power. And one of the statements was a retreat that you had gone, or a coaching practice you went to, and you listed holistic and somatic pleasure practices. And I would love to know more about what that means. What is a somatic pleasure practice? What's a holistic pleasure practice? And is it always associated with something sexual or sensual?
No. So when we talk about holistic practices, we recognize that there are so many different elements that impact how we interact with our pleasure. So holistically, we might go in and we might look at wounding from childhood that makes us believe that we are not worthy of pleasure. We may look as far as from a past relationship that we now think, oh, I shouldn't orgasm like this because my last partner hated it. Like, so, but the holistic piece is going in and treating the whole person and different elements of who we are and how that interacts and might limit our access to pleasure. And the somatic piece is really about getting into the body and kind of getting out of the mind. Because our minds a lot of times can really get in the way and really psych us out of pleasure a lot. So we do a lot of work on getting into the body, tuning into what's actually happening. Are we numb in our genitals? Are we numb in our breasts? Are we numb to any sensations? Are we holding emotions in our body that might be blocking us? So really turning on that body piece is the somatic work.
And one of my questions to you is about the mind. So, you know, like there's many people who think of their grocery list or they're distracted. They're not present in the moment. And then there's the other piece of the body confidence or lack thereof, or the, as you say, thinking, well, my last partner didn't like this, so what do I do now? And feeling restrained, and there's a lack of freedom there maybe to be expressive. So what role does the mind play, and are those practices how we overcome that?
Yeah, the mind absolutely plays a role. And I think of it as almost like a highway, right? Like most of us don't receive any sort of pleasure education. We maybe start masturbating in our teens, maybe younger, which is also totally normal, and having sex. And whatever works, like kind of the first time, is typically what most people stick with. So we don't receive any education in how to expand that. So we get into these ruts, we get into these patterns, and they work well enough for most of us. And what we don't realize is that every time we use that pleasure pattern, we're basically building up this like highway in our brain of how to achieve pleasure. And so, of course, we're always going to take the highway, right? It's the fastest, convenient, easiest route. But if a block comes up, or if something happens and that highway stops working, or we want to experience something else, we need to start rebuilding side roads, right? So the practices involve sort of getting the mind in the habit of taking a new pleasure route. So maybe we'll change up how we masturbate. Maybe we won't let ourselves orgasm. Maybe we'll use different tools or toys or hands or what have you. And really just focus on teaching the body, using the mind. They're kind of intertwined, right? Obviously. But once we, in the body, learn to create a new pathway, the mind can then start to decide to take that new pathway. And then all of a sudden, we have this like network of highways that we can use to achieve pleasure. And that's when I think the world opens up, right? Like you can have blissful cosmic pleasure and all these different kinds of orgasms and full body orgasms. So that pleasure education piece, I think, is really missing. And that's how we sort of build this better mental pleasure highway.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the way that you said that at the end there, we don't receive pleasure education. We receive sex, this is how sex, and it's usually penis, vagina sex, right? That's what we are typically taught. Yeah. And that's what we see most often. We don't think about the pleasure component.
I mean, I learned I had a clitoris from Cosmo magazine. Like I wasn't taught that in school. Like it's crazy. It's crazy, you know, and it's really unfortunate.
Yeah. There's in Vancouver where I live, there's a sexual education company called Salim and Noon, and they visit schools. And I remember my kids, we receive a notice letting parents know that this education is going to be happening, and we have an opportunity to come and participate in the first, so that we learn and we hear what will be taught to the kids, and then they have their own private session afterwards. And I was really, I was very impressed and happy with the education, because it was, it talked a little bit about pleasure. It was just very open conversation, and it was very much not weird. You know, there might have been a few little giggles here and there, but it was just a very comfortable, open, non-intimidating conversation. And then I remember a few of the parents who were around, some I didn't really know necessarily, but there were sort of whispers and feeling uncomfortable and saying, I can't believe they're saying that, or I can't believe this. And I'm celebrating, saying, oh my gosh, I'm so happy that they said that. And I'm so happy that they're talking about this, because the kids walk away with it, with this knowledge of normalcy and kind of a plan and an understanding, without it having felt icky and yucky and uncomfortable for them. So I really celebrate that. But I love what you just said with regards to pleasure education. I do think that's something that really isn't explored or talked about.
Yeah. And I think with what you just said, I think there's a really big underlying question, which is, why are we scared of our teens knowing about pleasure, having comprehensive sex education? Like, why is that scary to adults?
Totally agree.
Because we shouldn't be afraid of that.
No, and I would rather my children learn where they feel safe, where they feel they can ask questions. And it doesn't have to be me, because I know that there's an inherent ick when it's your parents talking to you about this, but at least guiding them to resources so they aren't flipping through the internet just on their own and ending up who the heck knows what they see on the internet. But I would rather them have learned from educated people and given the tools early on and the seed planted that pleasure is good, sex is good, and sex can be healthy. And these are the ways that you stay safe. And these are the important, like, we need to talk about those pieces as well. but my education was very much don't have sex. And if you do, it's birth control.
Yep.
And STDs, right? And that was, yeah. it was very scary. It was very scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just jumping in to gently nudge you to put your pelvic health at the top of your to-do list today. I'm not talking about hundreds of Kegels. I'm talking about a whole body approach that addresses root causes and helps you get rid of your leaky bladder, your prolapse symptoms, your chronic low back pain, and your lackluster sex. My 28-day Buff Muff Challenge has helped over 6,000 women stop suffering and get back to living. It's an app-based pelvic floor fitness program that gives you a 10-minute whole body workout each day for 28 days. That's it. 10 minutes is all it takes. You will build your bones, your heart, and your pelvic floor in a way that is unique and effective. Participants are always saying that they have never heard of an approach like this, and they have only ever been told to do Kegels or to never do Kegels, but instead do reverse Kegels. Kegels are effective and do work when done correctly and consistently, but most women don't know how to do them correctly. So even if they are consistent, they don't get the results they want, so they give up. I believe the pelvic floor needs to be trained dynamically with whole body movement, not with static Kegels done over and over. Come join me in my Buff Muff app and take the 28-day challenge. What do you have to lose except the pads, the symptoms, and the limitations? It's time to ditch the incontinence pads, eliminate bothersome symptoms, and get back to living. I have a link in the show notes below so you can sign up now and start buffing your muff right away.
And I think the unfortunate outcome in this, you know, desert of pleasure education is a lot of people, probably unintentionally to a certain extent, get it from porn, right? If they have no context for how pleasure really is experienced in real partnered sex, they look at porn and they don't know that that's not real, that that's a performance, that's like watching like a Vin Diesel action movie, right? It's not real life, not real sexual life.
We say that to our kids all the time. Those are actors, very much a performance. That's not, you know, I have two boys. I don't ever want them to have the expectation that there's this, they are both heterosexual, and so that women would just magically be orgasming all the time and very loud and screaming and having this performative act all the time. And so I totally agree. I think porn is just, it's just all over. It's where a lot of them are learning, unfortunately, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very unfortunate.
Yeah. So another thing you talk about is a touchless orgasm. And as I was writing my questions to you and preparing for this, I joked saying, I think I would benefit from your coaching because I can't even fathom having a touchless orgasm. Now I've seen it with birth. Some people talk about an orgasmic birth. And I guess you could argue there's an element of touch because it's as the baby being born, but no external clitoral stimulation, which typically is what most people think about, is how you have an orgasm from a female perspective. But, you know, and I've seen I follow a few different sex practitioners and some of the courses and workshops, and I've witnessed, not in person, but on the videos that they share, what I think is what you're talking about with the touchless orgasm. So how does that happen? And is it like, can you go to a session and just experience an orgasm right there on the spot? Or is it something that you need to work through and it could take weeks and months?
Yeah. It's a practice. Pleasure. I think what, if I were to, you know, one of the biggest key takeaways that I would want your listeners to have is the idea that pleasure is a practice. And sort of alongside that, we all have our own unique individual sexuality. And when we partner, that sexuality sort of intermingled with theirs to co-create something new and different together. But even within that, we still have our own sexuality that's ours, that we should nurture and play with and enjoy on our own for ourselves without a, you know, partner needing to interact or wanting to know how it's going. Like, we should really protect that very private sexuality that we all have. And so pleasure is a practice. We can, like I was saying before, we can build new pleasure pathways in our minds. We can build new pleasure pathways in our bodies. But we can't walk into a session and be like, okay, teach me sex, touchless orgasm. It's like, what's your pleasure practice like? What have you been doing? What, you know, and you can't go from zero to, I mean, touchless orgasm is, you know, a higher level sex skill in a lot of ways. So you can't walk in and just boom, it's going to happen. You have to work at it. You have to nurture it. And my experience with it, I first experienced this in my sleep in my late teens, early 20s, and going back to the lack of pleasure education, I had no idea. I was like, boys have wet dreams. Girls don't have wet dreams. Like, what is this? And I talked to my friends about it and nobody experienced this. Some of them said, are you sure you weren't actually masturbating in your sleep and just came? I'm like, no, I was not touching myself. And as I began to progress in my formal sexual education, pleasure was more in the conversation, obviously, and people accepted that this had happened to me, but nobody really sort of kind of knew how to replicate it. Like, I still wasn't finding what I wanted to experience it again. So that was very disappointing and frustrating. But on the other hand, there was this part of me that's like, there is something really important here, and it's really... The insane comes to mind, but not insane in a negative way. Just like, wow, like my mind, going back to the power of the mind that we talked about earlier, my mind created an internal world, an internal scenario for me in my sleep that I could orgasm. And I got more and more like, I want to replicate this. I want to know how to replicate this. And then as I got into my coaching certification, we were doing all of a sudden these pleasure practices regularly. And I was consistently tuning into my pleasure and working with it. And then it was at that coaching retreat we mentioned earlier. I'm on a, you know, on a yoga mat, you know, moving toward 80 other women. So there was something energetic happening. And we were just doing breath work and working on building this pleasure. And I was like, oh my God, I am going to orgasm in this ring full of women with my hands at my sides on a yoga mat. Like, right? Like, blew my mind. And I could hear that other women were having similar experiences. And so when I went back home, I was living in Vancouver at the time. I went back home and I thought, can I replicate this? And I realized that if I put in the work, I absolutely could lay down on my yoga mat from a state of, you know, normal kind of, you know, not pleasure that we have in our day-to-day sort of static moments, and I could build it up to orgasm with practice and anytime I wanted. So that blew my mind. And I think one of the other major things I want to say about it is that I wouldn't want any woman listening to this to be thinking, oh my God, I touched orgasm. Here's another orgasm skill I need to be able to perform. It's not that. It's a system. Like, if you just want to go in and learn how to get in touch with your pleasure without orgasming, you can do that. If you want to be able to build the pleasure and circulate it and build orgasmic pleasure, you can do that. If you want to put in the time and effort to get to a touchless orgasm, you can do it. But it really, at its core, is a system to build those pleasure pathways.
Got it. Yeah. And if I think about a lot of the people that I work with and who are in my community, there can be a lot of trauma, and that can be from a lot of different things. But there is also the trauma of a diagnosis of pelvic floor dysfunction, of a prolapse or pelvic pain, or, you know, urge incontinence. So the fear of leaking and how that interferes from a sexual health perspective. And so I can, as you're talking, I'm thinking there are some people who are afraid to touch themselves or have anybody else touch them because they are embarrassed, they're ashamed, maybe it feels uncomfortable, but it becomes this, the mind piece, right? Is my partner going to see it? Are they going to feel it? Am I going to leak? Am I going to smell? Am I going to, you know, and we just get into this hamster wheel situation. So part of me is like, the thought of a touchless is interesting for some who may not have a comfort level with touch, at least not yet. And maybe that's a way to help them explore other avenues, as you talk about that highway, right?
Yeah. And it can be, like I said, you don't need to go for this like touchless orgasm party trick. You can start very gentle and just tuning into what is happening in your body and can I connect with it? Like that's the first step. And once we do that, and everybody's capable of doing that. And then once you do that, you really can direct that and expand on that practice in any way that feels safe for you and nourishing for you and comforting for you and supports you in your growth.
What are some of the reasons why people can't achieve an orgasm? So, you know, the touchless seems to me like that's your master's education. Like that's where, you know, you've done a lot of things along the way to get to that point. Usually most people from a female perspective require some sort of clitoral stimulation, some small percentage from something being inserted. So what are some of the reasons why women may not be able to achieve orgasm?
Barring any physical diagnoses, I think it really goes back to that mind piece. Every woman is capable of orgasm. And once we figure out what the block is, then I think those blocks are things like feeling shame about it, feeling worried that your partner's going to judge you, feeling that in my own experience, I mean, I've always been able to orgasm, but I've had experiences of holding it back because I could feel something growing that, and this sounds really woo. I've embraced my woo lately, but but I had this for a long time. There was this like holding back because I felt that I couldn't contain what was going to be unleashed physically in the orgasm, but also like emotionally and psychically and in my soul. Like it felt so big, like so beyond me. And I didn't know, it felt like it would break me apart and break me. It felt like it would break me. And I think that that's not an uncommon experience. And so there's this almost sometimes a need to like grow into acceptance that if you orgasm, you're not going to die. You're going to be okay. It's a normal part of being human. You can, if you can create it in your body, your soul can contain it. And I think physically, there's also a lot of women clench, like they hold all the muscles in their body tight. That can help a lot of women sort of interact with that pleasure, but then it can just get to be so much. It's like a rubber band snapping instead of having an orgasm. So it can be any number of things, and there's a lot of unwinding that has to be done to figure out what someone's specific sort of blocks are to orgasm.
And when you talk about it's very much a practice. Pleasure is very much a practice. What are some of the tools or techniques that people may use? So what could you provide that they could just start doing on their own today before starting to work with somebody like you?
Yeah, at the very like most basic but effective exercise is just, you know, getting yourself set up in a comfortable environment where you're going to have privacy, comfortable position, probably laying on your back, but whatever feels good. And then really just closing your eyes, turning off the mind. It's quite meditative, like turning off the mind as much as you can. And then just putting that awareness onto your genitals. And you don't need to be experiencing pleasure, like, but you want to look for sensation. Like, what in there? Do I feel tingling? Do I feel throbbing? There's champagne bubbles. Like, what is happening inside of my clitoris, inside my vagina, inside the vulva? Like, what actual sensations are there? And a lot of women will try this and say, I don't feel anything. Numb. Numb is a sensation. And it's perfectly normal. It's perfectly acceptable. So if you are somebody that is experiencing numbness when you try this, that's totally okay. All you want to do is imagine instead, or along with it, breathing. You want to kind of pussy breathing almost. Like, of course, you can't actually.
I talk about blossoming in the vulva. So yeah, I'm down with pussy breathing.
you want to visualize like breathing energy and breath and life into that pussy. And that's the first step, is like, putting your awareness onto your genitals, onto your pussy, just noticing what's there, and then starting to breathe. And that's the first step in what I teach.
Got it. So where can people find you if they're intrigued by this and they want to learn more about touchless orgasm and these somatic holistic practices? Where can they find you and learn more?
All of my socials and my website is under my name, Jen Wodke. So that's JennWodke. YouTube, Instagram, and my website. And I do have a course coming up starting in April with touchless orgasm, and it's group coaching. So the price is a little bit more accessible for some people, but it will include 2 one-on-one sessions. So it's a great way to sort of gain entry into this world and to get some customized guidance without breaking the bank. Yeah. I'm happy to answer my DMs if anybody has a question or email. So feel free to ask me any questions that you might have after listening to this podcast. I'm happy to reply to people. And on my website as well, there is a free guide, an intro to touchless orgasm that can help people get started with these practices.
Perfect. Amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much. You do very important and really unique work. And I'm really glad that you reached out. And I think this will be a really valuable podcast episode for my listeners. So thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for hosting me.
That's it for another episode of Between Two Lips. Thank you so much for choosing to spend part of your day with me. If you are enjoying the show, I recommend subscribing so you don't miss an episode. And I would also be grateful for a positive review. This will help get the information I share into the hands of more people who may not even know that help exists. Finally, I encourage you to take what you learn here and put it into action so that you can ensure that what you hear me and my guests share is not just lip service.